Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm pleased to be with you again to share these videos that encourage you to let God become real in your life. The more you do so, the more you'll get your prayers answered. Do you know, faith in God has so much to do with you having a relationship with God. It's not supposed to be separated as though you just took somebody's word for it, but you're not able to actually walk the plank of life and jump off believing in them because you don't know them. When you know God, when you begin to experience God, everything about the Bible makes sense. Everything about your prayer time makes sense. And everything about your confession makes sense. So we're encouraging you to let God come out of the pages of your Bible and live in your life, getting your prayers answered, and then being able to share so wonderfully testimonies with individuals. I'll guarantee you, in the day that we live, if you had two testimonies you were sharing with somebody versus 10 scriptures that you had memorized. Now, don't get me wrong. Let the scriptures you memorize be your life. But share those testimonies of what God has done for you, and I guarantee your people will listen. Well, we're going to get right back into our scriptures, and we're going to go right back into our favorite little passage that we say every week because it so wonderfully speaks to the end goal of what we're doing in these Adventures in Grace videos. So it's right here in Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible that says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping these to myself. I'm ready to go over them line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Isn't that a wonderful invitation that the Lord gives us to have a relationship with God just like Him? And isn't it interesting that in all the things that He just got through saying, that there's not once where He said, "I want you to go read more in your Bible." Now, as you know, I always come back and just help you to realize, no, I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. Thank God we have the scriptures and we can learn from the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and we can see the plan of God that He wanted a family and He created man, and man got off, but God had a plan to restore man. And if you look at the very beginning, you see unbroken fellowship with God and Adam. You see unbroken fellowship with Jesus and the Father, which is our restoration and our encouragement that this is the relationship that we also, through Christ, can have. And then at the end of the book ends, Revelation, you see that man will live with God forever and there will be unbroken fellowship, and everything that is of heaven will be so normal to us that no one would ever think, wow, this is really supernatural. They would say, no, it's pretty much normal up here. Well, Jesus wanted us to have that. That's why I told the disciples, the same things that are going on up in heaven, you pray that it'll be exactly like that right here on earth. In other words, the realness, the tangibility, the relationship with God, walking in the Spirit is normal for a spirit. So we've been talking about the supernatural versus the natural, the idea that we make something about the spiritual world, we make it become so unattainable by putting it out into the ether as though it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know, not everybody wins the lottery ticket. You know that to be true. And if you ever won it once, you would just, you know, you would just be so covetous to try to win it again, and arrogant to think that you could win it again. People would say, well, if you won $100 million, what else do you need? Well, I'm going to try to win it every single day. And they say, no, you can't do that. And that's exactly what religion has done to the experiences with God. You ought to be just really lucky, and you ought to consider yourself fortunate that you even had one, because most people never have a real relationship with God and never have an experience like that with Him. No, I want to have multiple experiences every day. every single day because it's normal and it's regular. And so as we go into the scriptures, you know, Jesus had to fight this mentality himself. And over here in John chapter 8, verse 27 to 29, Jesus said they still didn't get it, didn't realize that he was referring to the Father. So Jesus tried again. When you raise up the Son of Man, then you will know who I am. That I'm not making this up, but speaking only what the Father taught me. See, they didn't believe you could have this kind of relationship with the Father. And they're going to put Jesus on the cross because he even talks about God as though he is his Father. Now, I know there's so many similarities to the same mindset of today. People don't think you can have this kind of relationship with God. And if you start talking to people about the things that God's talking to you about, they get really leery about you as though this guy's really weird. No, what's weird is that you're not experiencing God talking to you too. That's why we're doing these videos, to change your paradigm, shift you enough until what's normal for you is to hear God speak. You know, over there in Romans, we've already given this to you, but Romans in chapter 6 in the Message Bible, it says sin speaks a dead language and means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. Like I shared with you before, when you're traveling in other countries and you go into another nation and they have a different language and you're at the airport and everybody's speaking something that's so different, and it's just kind of noise. It may be beautiful sounds, but it's noise to your ability to comprehend what's being said. And all of a sudden, you hear somebody say, "Hey, Ethel, they've got a McDonald's over here." And you think, it's an American. Where are they? And isn't it interesting, in the midst of all the noise, your ear goes to the language that's your mother tongue. Well, because sin is no longer our mother tongue. It's a dead language that means nothing to us. Thank God, God speaks our mother tongue and we hang on every word. This is where we're going. And this is why Jesus had trouble, because the people didn't comprehend this. They were still listening to the voice of sin versus God. So we look and Jesus said, "I'm not making any of this up, but speaking only what my Father taught me. The one who sent me stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. See how much joy I take in pleasing him." And you know what brought the Father joy? Is that Jesus hung out with him. I mean, what gives a parent joy but that the children want to be with them? And even especially when the children become adults themselves and have the ability to go off and do anything they want, but they also want to choose to still be connected to the parent. That pleases the parent, because the parent's whole MO, you know, the whole operation within their heart is to bless their kids. And when those kids can return that love to them, it's so pleasing. Well, that should speak to all of us. To love on our parents and our, as a parent, to love on our children. But in this context, look at it from your Heavenly Father's perspective. Wow, how much he loves you and wants to bless you. Let's go to the next scripture. We can see that Jesus really stayed tightly close to his Father in every single thing that his Father was doing and saying. And right here in the 49th verse in John 12, "I'm not making any of this up on my own. The Father who sent me gave me orders, told me what to say and how to say it." Don't you love that? He told him what to say and then actually how to say that. That's kind of like when the scriptures say, take heed how you hear and then take heed what you hear. God is going to tell you what to say and then he's going to tell you how to say it. Woo, glory. That's a whole nother message right there, but that's pretty awesome. "And I know exactly what his command produces, real and eternal life." See, Jesus was experiencing the very essence of God, the strength and the vitality of God's nature in his human body while he's walking on the face of the earth. Now that speaks volumes to me. My human body is what my human body is, and it's in good shape right now. But how much more the life of Jesus Christ to get into the cells of my body, energize them, give them life, and put me over in a manner which gives me health and healing. You know what that's called, folks? That's not called being healed. That's called walking in divine health. Boy, that's my focus. How about you? He went on to say, "That's all I have to say. What the Father told me, I tell you." Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 27. And this is so, so very, very good. Amen. Actually, we'll go to 28. And this is the Mount of Transfiguration. So let me set this up really simply. We're trying to tell you and reveal to you and hopefully get your minds to think in this particular light that everything about the ministry and life of Jesus Christ was normal. That he came as a man. Over 90 times in the gospel messages, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. Why did he overemphasize the Son of Man? Because he was revealing to you and he was revealing to me that this is how we also can experience our Father. He came as the prototype to show us what it was like in the new creation life to have a relationship with God and a relationship with him. So I look right here and see that this example is not an exception. I know it looks like this is so supernatural. No, this is extremely normal. And the more normal you allow it to be, the more normal it will be. Amen. Change our thinking. So about 8 days after this saying, he climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. Oh, isn't that interesting? I wonder why there's a story here. Because this is the story where Jesus actually took someone with him when he was going to a solitary place to pray. All the other times he went by himself, there was no one there to write it down. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus wrote a gospel. I don't know, who's to say there isn't a gospel that Jesus wrote where he wrote all about his times with the Father that would have been very helpful for us to realize this is exactly what we should expect. Whether there is or isn't, it doesn't matter. My point is that Jesus was having these experiences by himself. This time, there were individuals, his friends, his disciples there to help write down what they saw. While he was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. And what a glorious appearance they made. And they talked over his exodus, the one Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. Just for fun, because I have just a moment to do so, in the Passion Translation, look at how it explains. It says, and as he prayed, his face began to glow until it was blinding glory streaming from him. Something began to glow until it literally was like the beams of light in a sunset where there's clouds and there's certain beams that are coming through in the heavens. And it's so cool because you can see, you know, the distinction of that light because behind it are some darker clouds. You've seen that. Well, out of Jesus, his face began to glow and then beams began to come out. Oh my goodness, take your skin off and look at who you are in Christ, and you are a bright, shining light of glory and power and strength. I'm telling you, you're more buff than any WWF wrestler, amen, or The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson is so big, you know, or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was just working out yesterday, and there's pictures of him all over, you know, doing... No, my arms weren't anywhere near as big as him, but that's beside the point. But no, in the spirit, you are strong. Oh, if we could just see who we are. Fellowship with who made us who we are. Life would be so much different in the way that we approach it. And our enemy would run in terror from us because we would know something, because we've experienced something that's too real to ever back up. His entire body was illuminated with a radiant glory. His brightness became so intense that it made his clothing blinding white, like multiple flashes of lightning. Wow. Glory. Amen. So as I continue in the Message Bible, it says, meanwhile, Peter and those who were with him were slumped over in sleep. And when they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left Peter, Peter said to Jesus, Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He blurted this out without thinking. See, this is the mentality, folks. They're seeing Jesus have this experience and they want to build a memorial like this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened in the entire universe, to see Jesus having an experience with God. This is what religion does. If you can't comprehend the bigness of what God has planned for you, you'll always squish it into a little package of religion and doctrine, and everyone else that comes after you will no longer have a chance of the wide open spaces of the grace of God. This is what we do. No, this is what they can have. He didn't take them up there so they could just look at him and Jesus could, you know, look at himself and say, I'm special. No, he took them up there so that they could begin to get used to the idea that spiritual things were normal. Amen. While he, Peter, was babbling on like this, I'll have to close. A light radiant cloud enveloped them. As they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of the cloud. This is my son, chosen. Listen to him. I'm going to have to pull up here. In fact, I'm going to have to save some of my grace stories because I've gone a little bit too long, but I'm not afraid to go a little long so that you can get this. Folks, God is everywhere. Just look. Look at the breeze. Last night I was out just going over some of these things and I'm sitting outside and there was such an amazing breeze. I know it's Colorado. I'm sorry all of you can't be here, but there isn't humidity like there is in Tulsa, Oklahoma or in Columbia, South Carolina or in some of the other places I've been. Mobile, Alabama. Oh, Houston, Texas, there was so much humidity, and Galveston, Texas, where, you know, you put the air conditioner on your car and you have to fight condensation in your car because it's so humid outside. It's Colorado. What can I say? And it was just so beautiful outside and there was a breeze that was blowing. And I'm telling you, you could find God just in the breeze that was blowing. Your heart could find him. And then he becomes real to you and he begins to speak with you. Oh, my dear friends, share these videos, not because I care how many people are watching the Adventures in Grace videos. Share these videos because people, no matter who they are, what nation they're in, what their background is, anybody can have a relationship with God. It's supposed to be normal for everyone. So if you'd like to go to the Adventures in Grace YouTube channel, subscribe, and then, of course, these videos will come up, you know, on your feed. And you'll be able to see all of them. Maybe you can go back over some of them, some of those beginning ones where we talked about the hearing, seeing, and doing life. What is real Christianity? We're describing it here in Jesus' life. If you want to go to our Facebook page, Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, you can follow us, or you can go to our website, which is simply jimhockaday.com. As I spoke earlier, as you share, as you get your testimonies, share them with us at jhmi@jimhockaday.com. jhmi@jimhockaday.com. Share with us on that email your grace stories, and we're going to share some of those with you on the next time. Man, I enjoyed being with you. Until next time, God bless you all.